complain, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
Well, I ain't afraid of dying. It's the thought of being dead. Gonna go on being me once my eulogy's been read. Don't spread my ashes out to sea. Don't lay me down to rest. You can put my mind at ease if you fill my last request.
Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kinda just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car. Smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from a guitar down.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
I love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant. Wonder why I don't stop.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Yeah, we are the storm. At least we're hoping that's going to be the case. We'll see what happens. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 28th of January. It's a Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. And I thank everybody for tuning in to Amy's show. She's just getting started again and haven't got her good following back up. But it is on the archives, and it'll be... actually, I don't think we're doing a podcast on it this go-round, which does have archives on it. So let's see here. Let me get over here to the chat room and see who's there and make sure we got sound. Oh, AZ Bound, shame on you. He said he forgot about Amy's show. See, that's why it's brand new. We're going, what's she been on, like 4 weeks or something? Not too long. And we haven't got a promo out for it, and that's our mistake. We need to get on that and haven't... publicized it as much as we did before, so we need to remedy that here this next week. So, Mountain Shooter working again, that sounds good. Glad of that. The speaking of all of that is, are we getting any sound out there? All right, thank you, Mountain Shooter. Appreciate it. All right, 5x5, he says. All right, let's move on. Wait a minute, what do you guys, is this breaking news here? No, I can check on that later. Never mind. Let's go first. Everyone probably remembers 3 years ago Saturday. We were sitting at this exact time. Or I don't remember what time that. Yeah, it had to have been this exact time, I guess. And learned of the murder of Lavoy Finicum. Been 3 years already. Murdered one day before his 55th birthday. He's born on January 27th, killed on January 26th, 55, almost 55 years later. So, never forget. That's one of those things there that we don't ever want to let slide by. And I don't know if I know I told you. I'm going to just throw it in here again since we're talking about Lavoy. Hey, Nan. Good to see you. N.M. Glock just slid in there. What was I going to say about Lavoy? Oh, Jeanette. I think I told you about this, but I want to make double sure everybody knows. Jeanette is remarried, happily married a guy named, I believe, Stephen Skinner. And she's not changed a thing. She's still... campaigning around the country for changes in the overstepping of federal authority here, and got a lawsuit coming up that she's working on. If you haven't got her book yet, or his book that he wrote, she's selling them. Two things, you know, it's a marvelous book. You definitely need to get one. or some. And the other thing is that's what one of the things that helps her finance her lawsuit against the federal government. So give her a hand and order, you know, those books are not expensive. Matter of fact, you can get them on Amazon, I think, for about $18. That's cheaper than they were when they first came out by a couple of bucks. So, you know, if you've got someone with a birthday or whatever coming up, then get them a copy of that book. You couldn't get them anything any more important, any more enlightening to what's going on than Lavoie's book, Only by Blood and Suffering. So get a copy, give it to your friends, cheap enough to share. There's a deal going around again on Facebook. I just want to throw this out there just briefly. But this started many years ago. Facebook was just a young pup. It was like a little chat room back then. But they're, let's see. Oh, no, that the original event happened in 2001. That was a fire that evacuated CIA headquarters. Everybody's got this, not everybody, but a few unenlightened, uninformed people that won't take a second and do some research are sharing this thing again about the CIA headquarters burning down and you're finding, you know, however many tons of meth and all kinds of other stuff. It is not true. It is not remotely true. Nothing true about it. And if it comes across your news feed on Facebook or something, just delete it and tell whoever sent it to you, delete it and quit sharing it. It's just another one of those time-wasting things from World News Daily Report or something like that. I actually unfriended a guy, I don't know, probably Friday, over this. He says, we had people there. We had boots on the ground. We know this happened. No, actually, you didn't. It didn't happen. Nothing on World News Daily Report is true. Nothing. They may take a tiny little dribble of fact somewhere to lend a little bit of credence to their story. And put some of the most outrageous stuff out there. It says right at the bottom of the page on the World News Daily Report, it's a satire site. That's all they do. So if you want to read that stuff for entertainment, fine, but don't share it as the truth because it's not. Oh, dear. St. George, Utah. Remember, what was it, last Monday, maybe a week ago today, possibly, maybe Wednesday? We talked about the hate crimes against different religions and how the Mormon Church had been added to that just very recently. The FBI has added the LDS Church to the list of religions that are being hate crimes against them. And, well, no sooner said than done, a stake center in St. George, Utah. Stake Center is a, it's not a temple. It's a bigger building where you have numerous smaller areas around it called wards. And these wards belong to a stake. Everybody comes to the stake building for certain, you know, presentations and stuff, meetings, you know, a couple of times a year or whatever. So, anyway, the stake center was brand new, wasn't even quite finished yet, burned down. And the fire was started at like 1:30 in the morning or something like that. And the first thing that come to mind, me and several of my friends on Facebook, the first thing that we thought of was, arson. And somebody got on my Facebook page and said, well, let's not jump out there and start screaming arson all of a sudden and hate crimes and all that. Let's wait and see what happened. No sooner had they posted that before there was an update to this, you know, just a, you know, two or three or four hours later,
there was an update that said this was being treated as a criminal investigation. It apparently started on the outside, on an end of the building in an area where there's no electric, no gas, no nothing, no heaters, no lights, no anything, and this fire started just out of the clear blue sky. So, since it was a clear blue sky, we're assuming it was not a lightning strike. So, that's, they're treating it as a criminal deal now, so they're pretty confident that it was arson. Unfortunate, but it's one of those things, I guess. Excuse me. Let's see. Let me go over here to the chat room, check and see what's going on here, and see who all has joined us, besides Mountain Shooter and NM Glock and Nan and AZ Bound. We've got a new anonymous in there. Tebow's with us. And Mini Man Pin. Copper's there. Copper, glad to see you. All right. Let's continue to march here. The next two, let's see. All right. This was in St. Louis. I wish I could get rid of these stupid ads. Some of these newspapers drive me nuts. This is in St. Louis, Missouri. And apparently a couple of officers were playing with guns that they shouldn't have been. It was a little different version of Russian roulette. Apparently they, from the sound of the story, they took turns firing at each other. They put one bullet in it. And how stupid is this? I never understood that. Why does it prove that you're brave, or it just proves that you're stupid? If you want to commit suicide, I see, okay, I get it. We got, you know, a group of people sitting around here. We all want to commit suicide. One of you is going to get to do it. And the other four have to, the other several have to go home all disappointed because they didn't get to, evidently. So these two cops put one round in a revolver, and they're taking turns shooting at each other. So this one cop put the gun up to the other one's head and pulled the trigger and killed her. So that's not the type of recreation, shooting recreation, that we condone really here at Southwest Shooting Authority. We strongly encourage people not to undertake these type of things. It just doesn't always work out well for at least one of the people that are doing it. So, there you have it. I don't know why my throat's messed up here tonight. Get it cleared here in a little bit. Let's see. Let me go here to another. You know, when I was working in Texas, one of the several times that I worked in Texas, many moons ago, back in the 70s, actually. This was probably about 1978, 79, somewhere in there. Had one old boy work for us named Houston Dover. And considering the lifestyle that he led at the time and the age that he was, I am pretty confident he's no longer with us. And one of the things Houston used to do, come to work, and he always, you know, his hair all slicked back and everything, and I could always tell that he washed his mouth out with Listerine. Well, after a while, we figured out that it was a little more than washing his mouth out. He was hitting the Listerine bottle pretty heavy. And it took a little while to get it all figured out. But anyway, he'd come in drunk. Come in one day just slopped from Listerine. So here's a woman. Where was this at? This just happened day before yesterday in Connecticut. They say a Connecticut woman had been charged with driving under the influence of drunk on vanilla extract, which contains a significant amount of alcohol. This is not the first time I've heard about this. This is just a new story coming out on this. But the newspaper there reports that the police found a 50-year-old woman sitting in her car at an intersection with her eyes closed at 4:45 in the afternoon last Wednesday. They say they found several bottles of pure vanilla extract in her vehicle. Say they detected an odor of vanilla on her breath. Her speech was slurred and she was unable to answer basic questions. So there you go. And that just confirms, you know, we talked quite a long time ago about people in prison, how they wind up murdering each other. All manner of homemade weapons, different types of knives and cords and all kinds of stuff. And murder is apparently illegal in prisons, and gun control is pretty strict. But it doesn't stop them. In fact, it hardly slows them down. If someone wants to kill someone, they will figure out a way to do it. Always have, always will. It don't matter what kind of government regulations that are imposed and what's going on, they will definitely find a way to do it. So, and the same with, during the Prohibition, they eliminated or highly restricted alcohol sales, and so they went out and made their own. And a lot of people died over this, not only from bad booze, but from the different raids and competition and the smuggling and all the stuff that went along with it. But did it stop people from drinking and the alcohol? No, it didn't. Finally, they just had to give up and say, you know what, we're just going to have to let them do it, and we'll just charge a big tax on it. And same thing with something as benign as CB radios. The single biggest act of civil disobedience in the history of mankind was CB radios back in the 70s. And that was when, good night, Pumpkin Cat. There were licenses required at the time. I still remember my license number is KSL 5095. But it got to a point where everybody had CBs. They had handheld CBs that out in the woods. They had mobiles in their cars. They had, bases at their house. Everybody had a CB. And nobody was getting a license. Truckers running down the road, running lots of power and not having a license. They did in the beginning. But the biggest act of civil disobedience probably in the whole world was CB radios. When they finally got to a point where the FCC said, just threw up their hands and said, you know what? There is absolutely nothing we can do about this. There is not enough people, not enough time, not enough money to prosecute everybody out there that's running illegal radios or running on their radio illegally, either way. So they done away with the permit or the license. Now, today, you don't have to have one. The same thing is going to happen to GMRS at some point. And this thing with the back to the lady that got drunk on the vanilla extract. You can take away anything you want to. You can create all the laws and policies that you can possibly muster up. And somebody's going to find a way around it. Homemade guns comes to mind. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you prohibit. We will figure out a way around it at some point. There are some very clever, very ingenious people out there that will figure out, the 3D printing craze on the printing receivers and stuff. That's makes my point right there. So, there you have it. We've got a pretty, I may take a break a little bit early here. We've got some other things to talk about. I don't want to stop, interrupt it right in the middle of the break. So, there's, I don't want to even give it away. So, I think we're going to take a little bit longer break here. And we'll get back and get started on this. You'll stay with me here just a minute. Let's see here. Let me do this. This sounds like a good thing to do. No, it doesn't. Why are you not working? There you go. All right, well, let's do this. That'll take up a little time. I'll be back in a minute.
I'll be back.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me it is clearly an instrument of peace and liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper. Message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like I.
My mother will. No.
Mind if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold on. Ah, but it's cold outside.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
All right, we're back here. Let's wrap this up. Let me bring up something here for you, if I can find it. There we go. I have been contacted by numerous people and a couple of students and other people. Matter of fact, I just was answering a text right now talking to me about the same thing. And the question is, getting them from different states, but I've got two or three from New Mexico. One of them was that the new governor they got there is causing a lot of concern about guns and the Second Amendment stuff. And she said if they actually, female is worried about this, if they actually do go out and confiscate, does this mean, does that include registering guns or registered guns? And how do you protect your guns from being taken? And you know, this is a, times have changed a lot. We are just about to that point where Claire Wolf was talking about it's that awkward time when it's too late to stay within the system and too early to shoot the bastards. It's just about to move out of that phase. And I'm afraid that just any time now, there's going to be a raid or a threat or a concern of a raid, or maybe somebody's just going to go off the deep end and just go say enough's enough. And things are going to break loose here in a large fashion, I'm thinking. But New Mexico is gone. if the Patriots of New Mexico don't get very, very aggressive and very serious and start making some sacrifices in, you know, it's the age-old thing that all of us have said it, including me, because of work or because of money or because of lack of transportation or whatever the case may be, there are just too many excuses to come up with that, that people are not getting out and doing what Tebow and them did this last, during all of this week, I think it was, or maybe it was Saturday. Anyway, Tebow and his bunch down there have made a tremendous showing. Have really put forth a lot of effort, and I'm hoping they've done some good. I think they have. But it's going to take at least that level of dedication, if not considerably more. The people of New Mexico and several other states, I'm just saying New Mexico because that used to be my state. I don't claim it anymore. I don't claim anything about it. It's getting to the point where I'm almost embarrassed to say I was born there. But, excuse me, if these guys don't get pretty damn aggressive there, they're going to wind up just like California. She said, what can I do to protect my guns from being taken? Dig a hole in the yard? LOL. Well, you know, can you bury your gun? Sure. But what have you accomplished by doing that? I have long said that it probably wouldn't hurt to have one or two or more put away in case the house burns down, in case something happens, some emergency, guns are confiscated, whatever the case may be, that you have something to fall back on. But to bury all your guns to keep them from getting them, what have you accomplished? No, they can't get them, but neither can you. I mean, you can, but you know they're not there for you to use. If you have to do that, then you've gotten to the point where there's no, you know, recreational shooting on weekends. There's no no Glock shoots, no skeet matches, no long range matches, no silhouette shoots, no nothing, no hunting. Because when you take that gun out, you risk getting caught with it. When you get caught with it, remember what happens. Is everyone going to bury their guns and see that it and see if it gets better next election? Next, is it going to be okay to dig them up then? Or is the opposite going to happen? We're going to have to bury the few remaining ones that we have. Now, it may frustrate them because you have kept them from getting a hold of them, but again, you can't use them. So, what if it gets worse instead of better? Do you just say, oh, well, pretend everything's going to be okay and hope they don't come to your house at some point? Sooner or later, they will. And that's going to be a while before they come door to door. But what they're doing is these red flag laws. I told her, I said, you know, my suggestion, and I've said this ever since I started the show, since way before I started the show, 12, 15 years ago, that if it gets to that point or you think it's coming to that point, then you need to just move. If you're not willing to do what is required to keep this from happening in your state, if you're not willing to fight hard, then you need to just follow the freedom. Go somewhere where you don't have to worry about that. There have been several people that listened to this show. One of them was on, when was it, Friday? Wednesday or Friday? Old Kojo from California. He now lives in Arizona. Casper Mountain. He has told me point blank. He said, I remember what you said. Just put it in the truck and drive away. And I know that's kind of oversimplified, but that's really all it is. I know there's people that have retirements, there's people that have you know, elderly parents. You know, there's all kinds of manner of things that would keep people from moving, or at least in their minds keep them from moving. But it's almost to the point where you just put in the truck and drive away. There's a guy that lives here. A very dear friend of mine that here probably 3 years ago said he was thinking about moving to Kentucky. And, you know, he's talking, it's probably, it was just over 2 years ago. It was right after the election. And he was just feeling, I can't tell you what the election had to do with it without giving away who it was, but he said, you know, I just need to get away and he wanted to get away from the bad taste he had in his mouth over what happened during an election, local election. And I told him, I said, where are you going to go that it's any better? Where are you going to go that you have the amount of freedom, not only in gun rights, but in all things, freedom, period? Where are you going to go that it's any better than Arizona? There's a few other states that are pretty good, but Kentucky ain't one of them. You know, Idaho would be the next best choice after Arizona. But, you know, here's the problem, though. This wasn't the problem when he was talking about this. This is the problem now. We're running out of places to go. New Mexico used to be one of those places. New Mexico used to be a place where people moved to get away from stuff. Now they're moving from to get away from stuff. Arizona's still good, but it lost some ground too. We lost ground this last election. We'll see what happens in 2020. But it's not, it's not looking great right now. So at what point do we stand our ground and say, you know, it's, the buck stops here. It's over. We can't do this anymore. There's no place to run. So she had suggested, well, maybe I should take some of them to another town. I said, well, you know, maybe you could. But that is dependent on how far away the other town is. That may or may not be just marginally better than burying them. Maybe they'd be confiscated at the house through where you took them to. I don't think we have to worry too much about them coming door to door right now, but it's getting more and more likely. This red flag stuff again. Now the thing about the red flag laws that are concerning is it doesn't take a hell of a lot for them to come get them. Some states like Arizona, hopefully, they're going to say, you know, you got some ex-wife or a business partner that felt like he was wronged, or you know, just somebody that you made an ugly face at and hurt their little feelings. And they go to the sheriff and say, you know, I'm scared of this guy. I know he's got guns and he carries a gun all the time. And I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid he's going to do something bad. Now here, most likely, they're going to say, well, we'll check it out. And that's probably not going to be a real big deal if, you know, they'll find out that they're fabricating this story. But what about other states? We heard about the guy that was killed in either Maine or Maryland here not too long, a month or so ago. What about other states where they are anxious and aggressive at taking your guns? they're going to look at this and say, oh, yeah, all right, yeah, I agree. We're gone. We're going to go get them right now. What are you going to do? It's easy to sit on the chat room and on Facebook and say, oh, they'll take my guns out of my cold, dead hand. When it comes right down to it, are you going to pull the trigger? When it comes down to the fact that you are not going to be available any longer to support your family? Or, hey, Granny Red, haven't seen you in here for a while. Welcome. So this is a tough decision, but it's a decision that's probably people are thinking about making, thinking about what they're going to do. And there's more and more states thinking about these red flag laws, and I'm not so sure Arizona may not even be one of them here in the not too distant future. And that's concerning. If if they pass enough of these laws, it's going to get to a point where they're going to need, they don't have to have an excuse. All they have to do is convince the judge, you know, that this lady is scared to death of that guy. And she feels threatened because of his guns. And all they have to say is he pointed a gun at me, or he pointed his finger like a gun and he was wearing one. That was the scary thing. And you're done. You're gonna have to make a decision. Or they're going to come get your guns. And the more of these that pass, the more it's going to, the more bigger, larger, more often precedent's going to be set, and it's going to become more frequent, and we're going to be struggling to make sure our moral compass is not dislodged there. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say there, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. So I'll tell you something else that's closely related to that. I saw this today. Is that, hold on one second, please. It's where I saw that they're going to trying to make it a felony, a federal felony, not just state, but across the United States, a federal felony, to make cruelty to animals a federal felony. And that pulls at everyone's heartstrings. Of course, everyone wants to, you know, we see these people that are torturing dogs on YouTube and doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, they should be taken out and beaten to death in their own self. But to make it a felony, do you see where this could go? Just like the red flag laws, what's that going to do to ranchers that brand their cows? What's going to do to all manner of animal husbandry that castrate their males, that clip their ears, that, you know, do all kinds of stuff? What about hunters? What's this going to do to a hunter? Is it going to be because somebody shot an arrow through one and the deer run away, and then someone saw it and recorded it, not seeing that it dropped dead less than 100 yards away? Nice, clean, humane kill. I think that this could escalate into a huge, monumental problem for everyone. What about docking the tails of your Doberman? Docking the tails of sheep? All of this could be construed, misconstrued. Complaints can be filed about all this different manner of things that we've done for literally for hundreds of years. Thousands, maybe. Hell, I don't know. But I can everyone see where this could be going? Um, this happened with, to some degree, with the Lautenberg Act. The Lautenberg Act of 1990-something. Must have been about 93 or 94. The Lautenberg Act was the one that says if you have a domestic dispute, not only a restraining order, but just a complaint, domestic violence complaint, certainly if they back it up with a restraining order, you have lost your gun rights forever. Not just until, you know, not just for 90 days to see what happened, the cooling off period or whatever, your gun rights are gone. And I've told you before, I know a guy in Cody, Wyoming that lost his gun rights because he yanked the telephone out of his girlfriend's hand. Didn't touch her physically at all. He didn't touch her hand when he pulled the phone away. He didn't do anything after he took the phone away. She was being irrational at the time. He took the phone away and hung it up. They continued their discussion or argument or whatever it was, but there was no physical interaction whatsoever. And this was clear on the court. It's not just what he told me. It's on the paperwork there, the order. And he lost his gun rights, lost everything. So we're at that time that Clara Wolf's talking about. You know, for those of you that's been with me for quite a while, this is not the first time I've said this. Because I've thought more than once that we have gone as far as we can go before something's going to happen. And each time I didn't know how much worse it could get. And look at us now. I don't know how much more. You guys remember the thing about Coffin Rock? It may be time to bring that out and dust it off and play it again. It's been at least a year, probably 2 years, since we've played that. And I think it may be time to do that again. Might do some of Mike Vanderbo's stuff, the Window War. Remember that one? The Window War hasn't been played for probably 3 or 4 years. So I think it may be time to bring these things out here again and bring them out into the sunlight and let people hear them. But, you know, Bob Wright warned against this, warned heavily against this. Bob Wright was not one to be trifled with. He was not one that made false. If he said something, you could take it to the bank. Whatever it was, didn't make any difference. If Bob Wright said something was going to happen, you better damn well believe it was going to happen. Tebow, which one are you talking about, buddy? Are you talking about the Lautenberg Act? The Lautenberg Act was federal. That is nationwide, and it is still in effect. And the other one, the red flag laws right now are going state by state. So far, the feds haven't adopted that one. I wouldn't put it past them. I hope that answers your question. I'm not sure which one you were talking about there. So that's where we're at. Things are getting closer. And the more we pander to them and say, well, okay, compromise, you know. Say, well, okay, we'll let them have this as long as they'll leave that alone. That's what's been happening for a long time. Hang on just a second. Here we go. So anyway, I think that it's going to come a time here very shortly, when all of this time that we have all been champions of open carry and all that, it common sense may dictate soon that open carry is eliminated in most cases. Some states probably before others. And that is because I think now in Oregon a few years ago, several years ago, the people would say that people are open carrying would complain and there would be brandishing charges brought against them. Now, I don't know if that was all over the state of Oregon, but around Portland it happened. So what's going to happen to all of us that open carry every day? I think that there is I am confident that there is a very, very real and present danger of being reported in these red flag laws, or because of the red flag laws for open carrying. We may have to avoid a certain confrontation with law enforcement or, prosecution. It may be for our own benefit that we conceal when we don't really want to, ordinarily don't really have to. There's always a lot of argument about, what's better and safer and smarter, but the concealed carry guys may be fixing to win their argument before too long. So, anyway, there you have it. Well, we've got some, right after we sign off here, we've got a Liberty Lounge already in progress for you from November. And good thing to listen to as you're getting ready for bed. I'm glad you guys stayed with me this long. We only lost a couple. I think Pumpkin Cat was about the only one we lost there. Let's see. Yakima Glock made it in. Good to see you there, brother. Who else knew? Granny Red made it in there. Looks like Copper had a little connection problem and had to come back. All right. Well, you can take this, you can take all of this information that I've given you and 75 cents and go down and get you a cup of coffee somewhere. May or may not be useful to you. See, Granny Red, that's what I'm talking about right there. Granny, for those of you not on the chat room, Granny Red said they open carried in Oregon, but were told they couldn't have it loaded. No magazine. I don't know who told you that. That is not state law. Open carry is legal in most places in Oregon, but it is a very, very dangerous thing to do around Portland and Tacoma. You just have to decide how much risk you're willing to take. What do you have at stake if you push this right up to the max there? Thank you, Nan. Enjoyed having you in here with us too. For sure. All right. Well, I'm starting to babble here because I'm getting pissed. So I'm going to start thinking about easing on out of here. So I'm going to scoot. Liberty Lounge is waiting for you as soon as I unplug this thing. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday at 8 o'clock Pacific time. What is that? 8? It's 11 o'clock Eastern. So good night, everybody.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.